Again, good morning. It's on? Okay. We're up to Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Dalid. Perek Lamed Aleph is the middle of the Haftarah of the second day of Rosh Hashanah. That's the last Haftarah we have learned, so we're still in the Inyan. It's a Hemshech. It's a continuation of Rosh Hashanah. We're up to Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet says, Od Tit'i Charamim. This refers to what's going to happen in the time of Mashiach. And Yimos HaMashiach, the day will come when you will plant Charamim vineyards, Behare Shomroin. Natu Noita'im, the planters will plant Vichilelu, and they will redeem the fruits. This Pasuk is discussing the mitzvah of Neter Revai. Neter Revai is a very great mitzvah. It's very similar to Ma'is Hasheni. The halacha is that in the fourth year, the first three years, the fruits are kodesh hilulim. The first three years, you're not allowed to derive benefit from the fruit. In the fourth year, the fruit must be eaten inside the walls of Yerushalayim. And if you're not able to carry, if the fruits are too many, too numerous, it's too difficult to carry the fruits to Yerushalayim, then you can redeem the fruits to Kesef, like the laws of Ma'is Hasheni, bring it to Yerushalayim. It says concerning the first fruits, it was Kodesh Hilulim. The fourth year was Kodesh Hilulim, which Chazal found the word Ches and the Hay can be interchanged, which indicate that when you would bring the Neter Revai, you would recite Hallel. It would be accompanied with Shirois V'Sishpachos, with praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's very interesting is that here when we're describing the rebuilding, the Geula, the Yimos HaMashiach, from all the various mitzvahs, all the various things which we can describe. Yesterday we described the concept of the girls adorning themselves adorning their drums and going out into the vineyard to dance, that we discussed the significance of that. That was referring to the Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av, the Mechoilos of Shidduchim. And here, the second thing that we're describing, what's going to happen, the time of Mashiach, is the celebration of bringing Neter Revai. We don't describe Korbanos. We're not going to describe Ma'is Hasheni, specifically Neter Revai, because Neter Revai, obviously, from this pasuk we learn, captures the simcha of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, there is a period of time where of development. And during that development, there's a lot of sacrifice. The first 3 years, when you plant a tree, you have to work very hard, obviously. You have to prune, you have to be mispalo that it rains just enough. It's not too much rain, not too little rain. And you have to guard. And it takes 3 years until the fourth year, until you're able to derive benefit from the first fruits. And those first fruits have to be brought to you with Shalayim and in there, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, accompanied by Shirois V'Sishpachos. And this, in essence, captures the difficulty in the Geula. Geula is preceded with years of inui, with pain and suffering. And part of the preparation for the Geula is Golos. And just like a tree, the first 3 years, it's just work. It's work without any benefit. It's an investment. It's an investment for the long term. Likewise, galus is considered to be an investment in the ultimate geula, and that's why we focus specifically on the inyan of neter revai. Let's see over here the mitzvah of the pasuk dalid behar bahar, and it also makes mention of the shore shomroin. Why the hore shomroin? Because shomroin was desolate for 200 years. Shomroin, after the aseres hashvatim were exiled, It was an empty wasteland, and worse, it was occupied by enemies. Im kiato, look over here at the words of the Mesudas Pasuk Dal. Im kiato heim shomimin. Even though now the mountains of the Shomroin are desolate, natu of abemokim basi. Natu is the past tense, and this is typical of all the words of prophecy which are written in the past tense. Even though we are describing a future event, ritzayin loymar hanoitim, the planters. Yinatu HaKaramim will plant the vineyards, v'hem yichalavu b'shana hadalid, and they will redeem it in the fourth year. When it comes to the fourth year, they're going to redeem it onto money and take the money to Yerushalayim. K'may shakas, like it says in the Torah, v'ashana harivis, in the fourth year, yiyakol piryo, kodesh hilulim l'Hashem, all of the fruit shall be holy, holy for praise, holy, a time when you have to take the food and bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it mitoch simcha, to eat it mitoch hilul, praising Hashem. Shetzarich lahavi haperos liYerushalayim ulochlam sham oil liftoi son. If it's too difficult to carry the peris themselves, you redeem it onto money ulchalalon al kesef. And that's why the chilulim lashon of chilul. We also dash in chilulim lashon of chilul that you can redeem it onto money. The yoytzi akesev yishalayim viamar shehanoitim yichalulim. The planters, they themselves will redeem. Below yikochem oyev kimeoz, the enemy will not take away your fruit. Umigaydel haribu lo yuchlu lahavim liyishalayim. And being that it's going to be numerous, the chilelu is going to be redeemed. That's a bracha. That means that they're going to have so much fruit, it will be physically impossible to carry the fruit to Yerushalayim. You have to redeem it. V'yichalulum al kesef. Rashi, Pasuk Dalid, v'chilulu bashana harevius, yichalu es piryam liftoi soy bekesef. You'll redeem it in the fourth year onto money and bring it to Yerushalayim. Radak, Pasuk Dalid, oy titi kramim b'hori sharmon nitu noitim v'chilulu, not to avah b'lokim asad, like what the Mitzvah says, it's through the past tense referring to a future prophecy. Derech ha'olam lintoya ha'kramim b'harim, now over here makes mention of the mountains of Shomron, because it is common to plant vineyards in the mountains. Ki yiyeh mehem yayin mishubach, the mountains is where you've produced high quality wine. And being that during the years of Galus they were afraid of their enemies, they were afraid to go to the mountains to plant vineyards. They were afraid even to travel there, to walk there. Al achas kama v'kama, they were afraid to plant vineyards in this location. Kama shamar, like it says, bachitzim uvakeshes yovosham, in this mountains there are arrows and there are bows and arrows are to be found over there. V'yata, now the pasuk is telling us that when Mashiach comes, hivticham, Hashem promises Klal Yisrael, sheyihi Elohem shalva gidoila, they will have great peace. V'yitu kramim lohem, they'll be able to plant vineyards over there. V'yichalu b'shana harviyas, they'll grow 4 years later, 3 years later, and they will redeem the fruits in the fourth year. Kimishbat, like according to the law of pidyon peroi sakramim, the oisim asam chulin, they will redeem it onto money. V'yu mutarim lazar la'achlan achar hachilul, and after you redeem it, then a zar, anyone is allowed to eat it. The reason why we discussed the word chilul, because when they would redeem it, it was accompanied by a lavish meal and by song. Kemosh Amar Kodesh Hilulim, which Chazal Darshin, Hilulim, Lashon of Hill of Praise. Uvizmana Pachalo Yasa Adam Hilulim, and when a person is in a state of terror, you're not going to make celebration. Celebrations. Mash zocha Shomron. Why do we focus on Shomron more than we focus on other areas of Eretz Yisrael? If you sham bepachad oyev yom rabim bimotzar uvimotzoyk, because the region of Shomron was a region where the enemy that was occupied by the enemy, and there was fear and terror, and there was siege and oppression, and it was impossible for Klal Yisrael to rejoice and behave freely in this territory. So this is before. This was before the Chol. What? Yeah, after the Aseres Hashvatim were exiled. So it was... Wait, do we say that again? Do we know after they were exiled? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly. I don't know. I'm sure there is information available, but I personally do not know. Okay, so again, this is a very important yesod, the concept of neter revai. Neter revai is a concept which captures the investment in Eretz Yisrael, the years of difficulty until you produce a crop of quality, and the obligation we have to dedicate the entire crop to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Shevach V'Hoidah, And that's what we're going to experience at the time of Geula. We're going to look back at the Galus as being the equivalent of the 3 years of Arla. And then when we come and we reach the moment of Geula, that's the time when we will dedicate all of the first fruits to HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitoch shiros v'stishbachis. Okay, now we come to Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey begins, Kiyesh, Kiyesh Yom, there is going to be a day, Karu Noitzrim Behor Ephraim, that's going, that they're going, the Noitzrim are going to call out on the mountain of Ephraim. I don't know if you notice all the psukim leading in the entire, this is something which is very interesting, all the psukim in this section focus heavily on not only heavily, almost exclusively on the Aseres HaShvatim. There's almost no mention of, maybe there's no mention of Yehuda and Binyamin. The focus is over and over, all different references to Ephraim. Ephraim is a reference to the Aseres HaShvatim, because Yeravam ben Nevat came from Shevet Ephraim. Therefore, all of the Aseres HaShvatim are called after Shevet Ephraim. As the last pasuk, the famous pasuk, the last pasuk in the section, HaBein Yakir Li Ephraim, Im Yelet Shashuim. So Yakir Li Ephraim refers to the Aseres HaShvatim, and since the Aseres HaShvatim are the majority, so we call basically the entire Klal Yisrael after the name Ephraim. Now notice here we focus before on the Hore Shomrayim. That's another reference. It mentions also over here the word Notzrim. Now Notzrim is an important word because it refers to the watchers. And what we'll see in a moment, the Medrash, that explains that these Noitzrim, we're using here the word Noitzrim because when Yeravam ben Nevat established his Malchus and broke away from Yehuda and Binyamin, he appointed Noitzrim guardians at the border of his territory to prevent the members of the Aseres HaShvatim from going to Yerushalayim and participating in the Aliyah L'Regel. There were sentries, and the sentries are called in Tanakh Noitzrim. Here there's a play on the word where the day will come when there will be the reunification of Klal Yisrael. The Aseres HaShvatim will be reunited with Yehuda and Binyamin, and those very Noitzrim that were once appointed to prevent people from going to Yerushalayim and joining the rest of Klal Yisrael will now participate in encouraging Klal Yisrael to be reunited with their brothers Yehuda and Binyamin. So again, there's another emphasis on specifically the Aseres HaShvatim, because the Aseres HaShvatim are the ones that have suffered the ultimate exile to the point where they disappeared. There's a machloikis in the Gemara if the Aseres HaShvatim will be restored at the time of Mashiach. These psukim seem to indicate on a very simple level that yes, if we're talking over here about Ephraim, and we're talking about Ki Yesh Yoim, there is a day that's going to come where Karu Noitzrim Behar Ephraim, and these watchers in the mountain of Ephraim are going to make a call to their brethren who have been dispersed throughout the entire world, and they're going to say, Kumu, rise up, V'nale Tzion, come up to Tzion, El Hashem Elokein. Notice they're telling them to go to Tzion. That Tzion is equivalent to Yerushalayim, the place where those very same Noitzrim told people, don't you dare go. Yeravam ben Nevat put the sentries on the boundary that they should not go under the Shalosh Regalim to Yerushalayim, because then they would see that Yerushalayim is the real deal, and they would abandon his leadership and once again join Klal Yisrael. But here, the day is going to come when it's going to be transformed. Okay, let's see the Mepharshim inside. Let's first over here the Mitzvah 7, Pasuk Hey. Ki yesh yom, hinei, yom muchan, there's a day that is prepared, asher hatsoifim, where the lookers, the seers, ha'imdim, who stand beharim on the mountains, yikru b'ko will call out with their voice, kubu, what will they say? They will tell everyone throughout the world, Kumu, stand up, rise up, v'nale, ascend el tzion, el Hashem, ki bo ha-ge'ula. the Chazra Hashchina leMekaymo leTzion, the Shchina has been returned to Tzion. Rashi, Pasik Hey, how does he translate the word Noitzrim Tzayfim Beroshim Migdolim Givayim, watchers who stand at the top of the mount of the towers, the tall towers, leHachriz, to announce Kol Nishma leMerachok, a sound that can be heard in the great distance. Period. Now we come to the second interpretation, Lashon Acher, Noitzrim, Kmo Noitzer Chesed Lo Alafim. So Hashem guards kindness for the 10,000s, for the thousands. Now, what does it mean? Then it means Lashon Shemira. Noitzer means guardians. It does not mean like our first interpretation, a seer, a person who is a watchman. We're referring here specifically to a shomer, a person who is a guardian. It's different. Nitzar, right. But normally a person who stands on the top of the tower to some degree is a shomer. He's a guardian. He's guarding the city by telling us if the enemy is coming. But that's not really what it means. A nitzar in the first interpretation, someone sees. You see into the distance. According to the second interpretation, we're focusing on the concept of Shemira. That's important because Rashi goes on to say, it means, Kalaimar, what does it mean to say Lashon Shemira? Yesh Yom, there's going to be a day, Sheyikru'u Oysam, Hashem will call to those people, Sheshamru HaTorah, to the people who guarded the Torah. The Yoimru, and Hashem will say to the guardians of the Torah, people that were observant all the years of Golis, Kumu, rise up, your turn has come now to enjoy the benefits of the Geul of Mashiach. V'chein Tirgim Yonason, Arei Is Arichus Yoimaya, there is the length of days, Arichas Yomim, V'sagituva, great benefit, the Asid that will come in the future, L'mei say to come upon Litzadikaya, to the Tzadikim, Dintaru Oiraisa Milikadmin, who have guarded the Torah from time immemorial. In other words, it's not going to be fair that when Mashiach comes, everyone should be the same. There are going to be people who have abandoned the faith throughout the long years of Golus. It's not fair that they should derive the same benefit of the Shechina's restoration as the Tzadikim who were faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the years of Golus and were Meister Nefesh to be Mekayim, to observe the Torah u'mitzvahs. It's not fair that everyone should be the same. Therefore, the Pasuk here is addressing in Hanami, when Mashiach comes, the Tzadikim who were Meister Nefesh, when things were difficult, they still maintained faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They will have a special portion in returning to Tzion and enjoying the Shechina as it returns. And that's what it means, the Noitzrim, Karu Hashem is going to call out specifically to the Noitzrim, the Har Ephraim, Kuma, V'nalet Tzion, El Hashem Elokeinu. So that's a very big difference, because over here, according to Rashi in his first interpretation, the second interpretation, he's really going Mikotze El Kotze. Because Rashi, in his first interpretation, is really addressing the Aseres HaShvatim. Here we are, it doesn't say it explicitly, but between the lines, here we are, there are the Noitzrim, who are standing Behar Ephraim. That refers to the Aseres HaShvatim. The Noitzrim is a reference, as we'll see in a moment, to the guardians, the sentries who prevented Klal Yisrael from serving Hashem. Instead, they erected two agolim, one in Basel and one in Don, where they would worship in idols. They made up their own Yom Tovim on days of the calendar which didn't even exist, in order that they should have an outlet to serve, to do whatever they needed to do there, to have some spiritual fulfillment, which was Avodah Zarah. And now the Pasuk is saying that when the time of Mashiach is going to come, they are going to be invited to return and to participate, even though for 2,000 years or more, they've been completely lost from the face of the earth. They've completely disappeared. It sounds like almost like we're going to be shocked that there are going to be groups of people who we never thought were Jewish going to be discovered. You know, we've always been saying this, always saying that maybe the Chinese, the Orientals, or maybe even they say the Palestinians. There are a lot of studies that want to say that many of the Palestinians really have Jewish yichus. They say that almost every ethnicity, you'll find some study and they'll tell you that their DNA is very similar to the DNA of the Jews, and they'll tell you they're really Jewish. And people are claiming these must be from the Aseres HaShvatim in Ethiopia. in India, in Ethiopia, all over the world, you'll find people, every ethnicity, someone will come along and tell you that their DNA is similar enough to the people living in Israel, that there must be that there are long lost cousins there from the Aseret HaShvatim, and it could very well be that there is truth to this. And that's what the pasuk over here is saying, is that ki yesh yom karu noitzrim harifayim, these people are going to be invited to return to Tzion and to enjoy the Shekhinah. And Rashi, in the second interpretation, says just the opposite. Those people we're not concerned about. Those people, they don't deserve to be nene from the good of the Shekhinah when Mashiach comes. So where have they been for the last 2,000 years? They've been making trouble for us. Why should they be nene? Instead, Adarabba, the Noitzrim, refers to the people that have been the guardians of the faith, the tzaddikim, the shomrei Torah u'mitzvos. It is only they who are deserving to be called and to ascend to the Har Ephraim. Mamish mikotze elakotze, and the two different interpretations of Rashi. Okay, now let's see the Radak. The Radak pasuk Hey writes, ki yesh yom, yesh yom she'osel lavo sheyikru'u. There is a day that is designated in the future when the Noitzrim. Who are the Noitzrim? The Mitzudah says, v'heim hatzayfim sheyihyu oimdim sham likro liyoshvei hakifarim. They are people, watchmen, people who look out into the distance. They will be designated to call to the people that live in the villages. La'alois, to ascend, litzion, lehoidois, la'Hashem, to give thanks to Hashem, al-roif, ha-toivois, ha-toivo, for the blessing, period. And what exactly is this yom? The Radak elaborates, the yom, perushoi es uzman. It does not necessarily mean a specific day on the calendar. It means a period of time at Yimos HaMashiach, es uzman, kamo, bayoim ahu, shoresh yishai, when the root of the Mashiach will be born. At all there also, it does not mean a specific day, it means a period of tekufa, a period of when Mashiach comes, this will happen to Hadam Elo. The Yonasam Ter game are is Arichus Yemaya, there is the length of days. The Goimer, similar idea. It means there is a period of time, Arichas Yemaya, an extended period of time when this event will unfold and people will be invited to return to Yerushalayim. Now, it's interesting over here, in the article they have something very, very fascinating, something very unusual. They're very traditional. In the parish, in the commentary, in the edition that I'm using of the article edition, the Milstein edition, and here they deviate from their tradition by writing the follows. Rav Avraham Pam would refer to this as his favorite verse. Okay, for the whole Sefer Yirmiyah, Rav Pam writes, this was his very favorite pasuk because of its message that the places and institutions that were used to turn Jewish children away from allegiance to the Torah will be transformed into centers of Torah study and service of Hashem. Just as the stations of Yeravam's centuries will become posts where people will be encouraged to ascend to the temple. So what he's doing is he's drawing from Chazal, as I mentioned before, that the Noitzrim is a play on the word. The Noitzrim is really a reference to, we're referring over here, again, to repeat what we just said before, we're focusing here on the Aseret HaShvatim, on Ephraim and Shomrein, and Ephraim was Yeravam ben Nevat was the leader of the Aseret HaShvatim, who came from Shevet Ephraim, and therefore all of the Aseret HaShvatim are referred to by the name Ephraim. Their capital was established in Shomrein, and he was afraid that he really l'chatchil wanted to go three times a year to the Beis Hamikdash and participate in the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, but he realized he would have to share the stage with the Melech of Yehuda, which at that point in time was Rechavam. And there is a halacha, Ein Yeshiva Be'azara, Ella Le'Beis David Bilvad. The only one that is allowed to sit down in the Azara, in the Beis HaMikdash, is a descendant of David HaMelech. This was the halacha l'Moshe Misinai. So even though he had a legitimate malchus to some degree, he was anointed by by Achia Hashiloini, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm confusing my Nach, but his Malchus was legitimate to some degree. He broke away, but he did have some small degree of legitimate Malchus. It was a Plan B type of Malchus, but he realized that if he is going to go to Yerushalayim, to Mekayim, the midst of Aliyah L'Regel, all the people of his, under his authority, of the Aseres HaShvatim, would also go to Yerushalayim. They would put them both on the stage, and the Rechavim would sit, and he would have no choice but to stand. And all of the onlookers, public image, would be looking, how come one is standing and one is sitting? So they would say, it must be that the real Melech is Rechavam, and Yeravam ben Nevat is not a real Melech. Why then should we be subordinate? Why should we be followers of someone who's only a make-believe person, not the real thing? When they would then transfer their allegiance to Rechavam, his hold on authority would weaken, and his Malchus would fall apart. So to prevent them from this happening, he was obviously paranoid. To prevent this from happening, he established sentries along the boundary of his territory to make sure that no one should be allowed to go to Yerushalayim for the Shalosh Shugalim. People needed to have a spiritual outlet to fulfill what it says in the Torah, Shalosh Pama Shana Yer'eh Kol Zechur Chaspenei Hashem Elokecha. So he made his own Yom Tov. I don't know how he pulled this off, but he pulled off making a Yom Tov in different times of the year that was not on the Jewish calendar, and he established two Bate Mikdashos, one in Basel, one in Dan, and that's where he directed people to go, and they offered korbanos. They did whatever they did. Was it L'Shem Shemaim? Seemingly it was, but then it was a Shalai Kahalacha, and he did this. This lasted for a very long time, for almost 200 years, until they were exiled. The great Simcha was Tuba Av. One of the great things, one of the things that happened on Tuba Av, which we celebrate on Tuba Av, the five things, is that these sentries were removed. And they were allowed, once people were once again allowed to go and be Oilel Regel to Yerushalayim. One of the five things that happened on Tuba Av, for which we, one of the reasons we do not say Tachnun, and it's considered to be a minor Yom Tov, because there was the reunification of Klal Yisrael at this point in time. So these same Noitzrim that were there to prevent people are going to be resurrected. I don't know what it means exactly, the time of Mashiach, and they're going to be there now being encouraging people, Adarabah, to go to Yerushalayim and pledge their allegiance to David HaMelech, to the Malchus of David. So Rapam saw in this, that's what they're writing over here in this footnote, Rapam saw in this, is that now in Eretz Yisrael, throughout the world, there are institutions which are turning Jewish children away from Torah study and from Yirah Shemayim. These very institutions, these organizations and tools and forms of technology that today are causing people to be turned away from Yiddishkeit will be transformed into tools to encourage people to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Notzrim, okay, we want to talk in modern terms, all the Rabbanim, the Kanoim that say, the smartphones that are so instrumental in destroying Klal Yisrael will one day be a tool to bring Klal Yisrael close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you can say such a thing. Okay, well, you understand what I mean. That's where
he uses this pasuk on his
drasha. Oh, okay.
And he quoted Rav Pam, and he said Rav Pam said that when the Russian immigrants came to Eretz Yisrael, the school building, they had started yeshivas, and the government gave them buildings. Those buildings that they used for yeshivas were originally the school buildings that they used to make
Kfira. Chilonim.
So
exactly.
He used this irony.
Exactly. That's exactly what it says in Rav Pam. So this is a Maisa Avay Simul Abanim. We're dealing with the Aseres HaShvatim. The Noitzrim were the people that prevented people from going to Yerushalayim. The same Noitzrim are now going to be instrumental in encouraging Klal Yisrael to return to Hashem. It's a mashal, as you just said from Rabbi Shulman, all the different things that have been problems in the past, they're now going to be tools to advance Yirah Shemayim and Shmiras Torah Mitzvot in the future, the time of Mashiach.
I'm just wondering, don't suppose there's any commentator that looks at the other...
Notzer means a Christian.
A Christian.
The Mari Kroh, if you looked at him, he makes a comment.
Yeah, what did he say?
He says that these are, in other words, these are people who always metzapim the Yeshua. So in other words, that's what I get, what he's talking about, modern day Christians who are always looking for the Savior and saying, let's go and... You know, we're waiting for the Messiah.
So we're saying what? That eventually.
That's why they called Notzrim. I mean, I'm getting that's what he's saying from it, because they're looking for the Mashiach, even though it's not time. They have their own Nevi'im, and that's what they claim.
But that's not the original.
There are many Christians today.
That's where they get the, that's why we call them Notzrim. They didn't call themselves Notzrim, but we.
Notzrim is a code word for Christians.
Right.
And today you're saying there are groups of Christians that believe. Their convoluted, corrupt way of thinking that their savior can only come after Klal Yisrael.
So I was thinking that maybe it means that in the future that they will see the light and they will encourage the Jews to return, and maybe some portion of they themselves will.
Nefesh B'Nefesh used to get a lot of money from Christians who believed. They believe that the
first the Jews have to go back.
First we have to go back in order for their savior to arrive day first. So you'll be tempted to read that into this pasuk, right? Because the Neitzrim, they are exactly what they're doing. They're giving a lot of money to fulfill what it says, Kumu v'nalet Tzion el Hashem Elokeinu. The only problem is they're doing it for the wrong reason. So that's what they say. That's what they say. So what?
Yeah.
Okay, that's an ethical question. I mean, do you?
No, Rabbi Eckstein always says.
Oh, forget about it.
What's the problem? He says.
Forget about it.
You hold this way. We hold this way. We'll see what happens.
In the meantime, just take the money. Yeah. Take the money. Okay, that's not so simple.
Get the money.
I think I heard they don't take so much anymore. They're not so crazy about taking this kind of money anymore. All right, but it's an interesting point that the Notzrim has another meaning. It's true, there are a lot of allusions to this elsewhere. Okay, so it's really a powerful, powerful pasuk. So we had already two lessons, the lesson of Neter Avai, and now we have the lesson of the Notzrim. Now we go to pasuk Vav, Ki Choyam Hashem, so says Hashem, pasuk Vav, Ronu Liyakov Simcha. This pasuk is a little bit out of the words. If it would be read out of order, it would be made a little bit easier. You would say, if you look at the Mitzudas David, Huhipuch, the words should be translated in a different order. Hashem Omar Liyakov, Ronu Bikol Simcha. Hashem Omar Liyakov, Ronu Simcha. You have to read the words in a different order to make the words translate well. Okay, that's very common. V'tzahal u'tzahal means to shout with joy. Berosh goyim means in the high locations of the world, in the strategic centers of the world, in the airports, in the hubs, in the transportation hubs, where people will get the message. Hashmiu, let them hear, let the message be heard. And what is the message? Hallelu v'imru, praise Hashem and say, Hoysha Hashem es amcha es she'eris Yisrael. Hashem has saved his people, es amcha, your people, the remnants of the Jewish peoples. This is the beautiful message that when Mashiach is going to come, the goyim, the nations of the world, or it's going to be, the message is going to be broadcast all over the world in the strategic locations where people will hear. Today, with the internet and technology, it's no big deal. Today, just the blink of an eye, you send out, you put it online.
You still need the high places for the microwave towers.
You still need what? I didn't get that.
The high places for the microwave towers.
The towers. Okay, the towers. The satellites. Today, it's also all satellites. Okay, it has to be, the transmission has to be done in a location where it can go forth. Let's see the Mitzvah stuff in this pasuk. Vav, Ranu Yaakov Simcha, Huhipuch. We have to change, put the words in different order to make sense. Hashem Omar Liyakov. Hashem has given instructions to Yaakov. Ronu Bikol Simcha. Bring forth joy. sing with the sound of simcha, v'tzahalu, hashmiu kol gadol, let it be heard with a loud voice, b'roish goyim ratzolayim, v'mekoymas hagavahos, shebe'arotzois, hagoyim, in the tall places of the nations of the world, l'hiyois hakol nishma l'imrachoyik, so that the sound will be heard in the distant places. Hashmiu, let it be heard, hallelu praise, hashmiu kol, let the sound be heard, the hallelu es Hashem, and praise Hashem. And what should you say as part of your praise? V'imru, ato Hashem, you Hashem, hinei hoshato es amcha, you have saved your people, you have redeemed the she'eris Yisrael. Rashi, v'tzalu b'rosh hagoyim, b'migdolos g'vohim, in the tall towers, k'dei she'yishmu l'merchok, so it should be heard to the distance. Radak pasigvav ki koyma Hashem ranu liyakov simcha ze yomer al tchilas hagula. This is how the gula is going to be announced. Bebo kol habesora vihi pekida. This is the pekida that Kadosh Baruch is going to remember us. Kilu amar. As if it says, you have to change the words around. You have to hear he's doing, Radak is doing what the Mitzudos has done to change, to put the words in different order. Amar koyamar Hashem liYaakov, so does Hashem say to Yaakov, Roni Simcha, bring forth a song of joy. Perush bis Simcha uchumohu. The hamukdam mu'ukhar, the words that appear later in the pasuk have to be translated earlier, first in the pasuk. For example, mekoyim sham kever, a place where a grave was found, kmo mekoyim kever sham, the place where the kever is there. Kol rabim amim, kmo kol amim rabim, v'hadim lochem, shekosavnu b'sefer michlol, b'chilek hadikdik mimenu, like in my grammar book, it's called Sefer Michlol, you'll find different examples with it. It's very common in Nach. We have to change the order of the words of the pasuk in order to translate the words. What? Michlol. The Radak's book, so it's available in the bookstore. It's not available in the yeshivas. Because no one learns diktok. No one learns diktok. V'tzalu b'roish hagoyim k'targumoy, v'dutsu dutsu means to rejoice. B'reish galei leinei kol amamayi, on the top of all the hills, in the presence of all of the nations. Hashmiu habesorah, make it heard the announcement. V'halu es Hashem v'imru, and say hosha Hashem k'mo shehishmatonu habesorah, just as we have heard this announcement, Kain asay v'hosha es amcha, so shall you do, and you shall save your people. Omar zev ani ese kidvereichem v'vi eschem mikol hamakomus asher nidachtem sham v'al zenemar. Okay, so the psalm go on. This pasuk is describing here the announcement of what is it going to be like when Mashiach comes. So people like to, it's a very interesting idea, is when it's established that Mashiach has come. Try to picture this in modern times. Well, how is it going to happen? They're going to make an announcement. You're going to hear. Mashiach is here. Who's going to tell you Mashiach has come? You can hear it in shul. You probably go online, right? You'll go online. You go to
Amber Alert.
Your cell phones will start shaking. So that's exactly. It's yet to be understood what this pasuk really means. This pasuk is describing a global awareness that Mashiach is here. And in this pasuk is the great secrets of how that's going to appear. And that's why the pasuk, we notice, is out of order. I mean, there's something obviously very, very, very disturbing about the pasuk. The words are out of order. Ki koyamar Hashem, ranu liyakov simcha. We have no choice but to translate the words backwards. So says Hashem liyakov, ranu simcha. But when Mashiach will come, we'll probably have an awareness of why these words are out of order. It will probably become clear to us as day why these words are out of order when we hear about the coming of Mashiach. To us, it's a mystery. It's a secret. But when the Nevuah unfolds, then it will become clear. It's Sahalu Berosh Hagoyim. What exactly does that mean? Everyone is apologizing. Kloimar, go to the high towers. Berosh Hagoyim. Hashmiu. There's a lot of verbosity. Make it heard. What should you make heard? Hallelu, praise, the imru, and say, Chesha Hashem es Amcha. Hashem has saved his nation. It's your nation. Es Amcha. Eish She'eris Yisrael. Everyone here seems to be struggling to translate these words properly. When Mashiach will come, it will be understood. Pasuk Zayin, and here we go and we elaborate. Hinni, Hashem says in his eye, that will be maybe some will bring you me Eretz Safain from the north. The north is, in the time of Chazal, was a reference to Bavel, because Bavel was in the north. It wasn't really in the north. We know that Bavel was really in the east. It was in the east. And the reason why we call it even really the southeast, the reason why we call it the north is because in order to get to Bavel, the road you take is you go up north. You go up north, and then you turn right, you make a right, and you go east, and somehow you find yourself in Bavel. I think you have to go down a little bit, right? You have to go down a little bit south, maybe I'm wrong. You go down a little bit, wherever it is, but you have to go north, because that's the road. So that's why we always associate Bavel as coming from the north, even though on the map Bavel is in the east. So, but Bezman HaZeh, that's not where the Golus is. Most of the Golus is not in the north. Bezman HaZeh, it's in the west. Where are all the Jews hiding today? In America. Not all of them, but some of them. So what about the west? So that's also a mystery. What it says over here, I'm going to bring them the Eretz Safin from the north, Viki Bat Stim. I'm going to gather them in the Yarkis Seoretz from the corners of the earth. Now here we have something very interesting. A lot of interesting things here in this pasuk. Bo, who's going to come? Bo Iver Ufi Seach. Who will return at the time of Mashiach? The blind and the lame. Hora, the woman who's pregnant. The Oledes Yachtov, the woman who is pregnant and the one that gave birth together, two different types of women, Kohol Gadol, a great assembly, Yeshuvu Hindu, they will all return to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so now what exactly? Do we have many different groups? We have the Eretz Safain, the Yarkisei Oretz, the Iver, the Piseach, the Hora, and the Oledes, and the Kohol Gadol. Seven different groups of people are going to return here. Some maybe you want to say it's only six groups. Kohol Gadol is an expression which encompasses the other six groups. Let's first see the Mitzudos David on this pasuk, starting pasuk Zayin. Hinni mevi ki hinni mevi oisam yeretz safan. I'm going to bring them from the northland. Heim shagol lebavel miyakas aretz heim bnei aseres hashvatim. Shagalu Limrochok Liktsaisar. So according to the Radak Mitsudos, we have over here two different groups. We have the north is Yehuda and Binyamin, who went into Golis to Bavel, that's the north, and Yarkise Oretz are the Aseres Hashvatim. Bam Behaviyam Yiyah, among those who are going to come will be the Iver Upiseach. The blind and the lame, Ritzon Elohimar, Kulam Yeshuvu Ish LeNedar, no one will be missing. Kahal Gadol Kibbutz Gadol, great assembly. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Bam Iver Besech Afilu Hanichshalim Shebuchem Lo Amoes. Rashi immediately says the word Iver Upisech does not mean literally blind and lame. It means people who are Nichshal in Averos. People who have stumbled, they did not see the light of Torah. They did not walk the halachta bidrachav. The Torah says that you shall walk in its ways. The Torah is considered or chadash al tziyon toyer.
No, I don't think so either.
Hanichsholim. Those who have stumbled.
Who travel more slowly.
Right. Who can't.
This is law and law.
Okay, maybe I'm going too far, because the Medrash indeed does say that Iver Pesach refers to people that stumbled in the ways of Torah. So I'm maybe going a little bit too far. I'm assuming that Rashi is drawing from the Medrash, but maybe you're right. Okay, Radak Pasik Zayin. Hani maybe also merit Safon Ki Rov Hagolus Bit Safon. Most of the exiles are in the north. Miyarkis say Oretz Bekomatz. Why is your Komatz not a segol? Buhu Eretz Bekomatz segol. It's Oretz. First the Komatz, then a segol. Buhu A Echod Miyudalid Shehem Kamotzim Bezokev of a segol. These are one of 14 examples of Kamotzim. He, in his Sefer Michal, he has all the rules of when you have Eretz, when you have Oretz. It seems here that he has 14 rules, and this fits into one of the 14 rules. I don't know more than that.
Six, so that's why, I mean, you would say it normally. It's an
Oretz, because it's the end of an expression. But it's not always a set rule, because sometimes there are exceptions. Miyarkis say Oretz. It's a Zarka Munach Segol. It's a Segol, so it's the end of an expression, so it's Oretz. In Echlami, so it's one of the 14 rules. Bom Iver Upiseach Kol Kach Yavo Benachas. He writes here that we're dealing over here with people that are literally blind and lame. Now, it's dangerous. How can a person who's blind go and walk the streets? He'll get run over. It's going to be, the roads are going to be paved, and there are going to be so many people, even a person who's blind and lame, will be able easily to travel to Eretz Yisrael. This is obviously a nevuah for this day and age. In this day and age, Baruch Hashem, every single facility, every single modern facility is accessible for the handicapped. Think about this. Someone today, Rachman al-Islam, who's blind, who is in a wheelchair, can travel anywhere he wants in the world. You can go from here to the Kaisal because the airports are equipped to deal with people that are blind and are in a wheelchair. And when you come to Eretz Yisrael, we have the technology. And this nevuah is something which at the time when it was written, probably no one understood what this can possibly mean. How can a person who's blind, a person who's in a wheelchair, can walk, get from one end of the world all the way to Yerushalayim and come to the Kaisal HaMaravi? And today it's a no-brainer. Today, every single country has its nachas. It's as easy as it can possibly be for this to be done. So this nevuah has been fulfilled. Kol kach yovo benachas. It'll be so easy to come. Shafiluhu even v'apiseach sheyubam. Even those that are blind and those that are lame will easily be able to come to Yerushalayim. V'ha'har v'hayoledes yelchu le'atam. A woman who is pregnant. Big deal, just because you're pregnant, it's not a big deal to come. V'hayoledes, she gave birth yesterday, also can come. It's not a big deal. In ancient times, this would have been impossible. A woman who's pregnant is going to be able to come 3,000 miles in one day, in a matter of 9 hours. You can be 9 hours and you're pregnant, you can be in front of the Kaisal HaMaravi. Write this 1,000 years ago, even 200 years ago, you would laugh your head off. It can't possibly be. And today it's a davar pasha, something that is similar. So you see over here how nevuah has been fulfilled easily.
He says it's talking about two people.
That's the medrash. Okay, we're going to come to that in a moment. Similarly, means over here is talking about a person that's literally blind or a person who's besech. Either two different people. And a woman is
called Gadol. From those two people will become a multitude of people. The people will come from these two people. That will be an ace, and even a bigger ace than that. From these two people who were infirm, the whole nation will grow from these two people.
From these two people. Who? Okay.
He reads it that way. Harod, Violetis, Yaakov. These two people together will give birth to a nation of people.
I mean, the man will be blind, and the woman will be paseach, and they'll get married, and she'll become pregnant. People alone, unbelievableness in a chanam. Okay, that's a different interpretation. The Adoni of Yizchon Levracha. Here, the Radak quotes his father as he does often. He quotes his father. Perish Yamar Kol Kach Oy Vilam Benachas Derech Yashar. I mean, this really is the same thing as we said, and I'm not exactly sure how the difference. I will bring them with delicacy. Derech Yashar At Sheyuchlu Lelechasimohem Oid. That's really what I explained. When I said the first interpretation, that's really what I was referring to, of the Radak's father.
No, the first interpretation is that they're going to come more slowly.
Lead them slowly, okay.
Well, come slowly, at their pace.
At their pace.
The second one says they're going to be able to
come just like everyone else, very quickly, okay. Now this is the simple interpretation. Now there are a collection of midrashim. The first midrash I want to point out over here is that this pasuk is telling us the even of itself refers to the people that were nichshol in averos, people that were blind, meaning they did not see the light of Torah, and they rejected it. They did not see the Torah was the proper, gave them the proper guidance in Derech, and they rejected it, and they went and they did their own thing. Here Hashem says, you're going to get a second chance. When Mashiach comes, I'm going to invite you to return and to do tshuva, to be chozer b'shuva. The Pesach means, as we say in the Torah many times, it's symbolic, you shall walk in the ways of Hashem. Those people that were lame, they chose to reject walking in Hashem's ways. The horror of Yoledes refers to people who have potential, and people who actually have Yoledes have produced peros. There are people, the Baalei Tshuva are people who have nothing to show for themselves, but they have great potential. They will come together with people, Yoledes, that have produced peros in this world. People that have went away, that have followed Hashem's ways and have been productive. Okay, that is one interpretation. Another interpretation is the Iver Pesach refers only to the Tzadikim. Again, this goes back to the two different interpretations we had in Rashi in the previous pasuk, when it said that I'm going to appoint the Tzoyfim, who are the Noitzrim. Are the Noitzrim referring to seers inviting even the irreligious to return? Or does Noitzrim refer to the call only people that were Moser Nefesh, who merit to come and enjoy the benefits of Mashiach? So likewise, the other Midrash says that when it says either, means people who made themselves blind not to look at things they should not be looking at. Shmira Seinayim. Every day people have a great nisoyon of looking at things that they should not be looking, and a person who chooses to make himself as if he's blind, that he does not look at something which he should not be looking, he will be the one who will merit to enjoy the benefit of Yemos HaMashiach. Pisach means he made himself lame. He had an opportunity to go to a place that an observant Jew does not belong, but he chose to make himself as if he is lame. I'm not going there. I do not want to go and participate in this event which I know an Orthodox Jew does not belong. So the people who make themselves either Upaseach, they are the ones that are going to benefit from Yemos HaMashiach. This is what it says in one of the Midrashim. Now then we come to the idea of Horav Yoledes Yachta. This is a very famous Chazal, that when time of Mashiach it's going to happen, that a woman will become pregnant and give birth on the very same day. Just like Chava, the last person to get pregnant and to give birth, Bo Bayom was Chava. Chava, Adam and Chava were created on the sixth day of creation, Aleph Tishrei, and on that day they produced Cain and Hevel. On that same day she became pregnant and she gave birth on the very same day. And that's what it says, that's what it means, the Pasuk Hora, a woman will become pregnant, Violedes, Yachtov, together. Yachtov means at the very same moment. It will be instantaneous because the world will be restored to the matzah before the chait of Adam HaRishon, of the chait of the Eitz Hadas. Now, when the Gemara records...
Is that the basis of the idea that the Gemara says that the chait Eitz Hadas happened on the first day?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, the chait was the first day.
Otherwise, they would have
had... Everything happened on the first day. Everything happened on the first day. And the Gemara says, when this maimer that I just told you was said in the Beis Medrash, I'll read you the whole Gemara. Hora, this is a Gemara, Hora of Yoledes Yachad, this is a Gemara Masechta Shabbos, and Aflamin Amid Beis, Yosef Rabban Gamliel V'Kodarish, Asida Isha Shetelet B'chol Yoim. It will happen in the future that a woman will give birth every single day. Shenemar, Hora, Violedes Yachtov, which means Biyoim Shahara, Zo Yoledes Volod Acher. The day that she becomes pregnant, she gives birth to a Vlad. So when he said over this Gemara, there was a Talmud that laughed. Ligleg Olav Oisai Talmud. There was a Talmud that was sitting before Rabban Gamliel that was making Litzanis. And the Talmud said, it says in Koheles, Ein kol chodosh tachas Hashemesh. Nothing new is going to happen in Yemos HaMashiach. So how can you possibly say this is going to happen? Omar loy Rabbi Gamliel. So he told him, you're right, but bo v'yarecha dugmosan bo'olam hazeh. That principle is only true if we don't have a precedent. But if we have an example of where it can happen, then it's not a violation of this rule. And he showed him nofak, he showed him a chicken a tarnagolas. And tarnagolas can conceive and can lay an egg within one day. So the fact that such a thing does exist with regard to a tarnagolas, it's hara. What?
In nature.
Bizman hazeh. So therefore, that's not a violation. That this mida can be transferred, can happen to a human being as well in the times of Moshiach. Okay,
so
now. From the ground in one day. So what does that mean? So he gave an example. Showed him also an example. There's other types of vegetation in nature that happens on that very same day. I saw in Rabbi Yechiel Michel Stern say, for yes, the question, I don't remember who he quotes from, is, but what about the laws of Nida? If a woman conceives and she gives birth, the Torah says that there's Tumas Yoledes. A woman for a male is tummy for 7 days. For a female, she is tummy for 14 days. That means she's not allowed to be with her husband for at least 7 or 14 days. How then can the Gemara say that a woman will give birth every single day? Every single day she will produce another child. If she gave birth, if she conceived and gave birth today, that means she has to have at least a break of 7 days until she can go to mikvah and she can be with her husband and conceive again. So what then does it mean 7 days? So he answers, that's exactly why the Gemara quotes from the case of a chicken, a tarnagolas, because the Mitzvah says, I'm not familiar with the science behind this, but the Mitzvah says that when a female chicken becomes pregnant, so to speak, whatever that means, from the male, that one maisa produces eggs for multiple days. The one time that the female is with the male, it puts her in a position to lay eggs continuously, for it fertilizes a number of eggs, and the chicken lays eggs for a couple of days in a row, all based upon what happened on one single day. So likewise, it's going to be the same. That's exactly what the Gemara means. Says a woman's going to give birth every single day. She will be with her husband, and she will conceive 7 males or 14 females or 14 females on that very day, and then for the next 7 days, each child will take turns in developing and produce and becoming a full term for the next 7 days. So Einachnami, the six other males will be born in a state of Tumah. The first child will be born in a state of Tahara. The other six will be born in a state of Tumah. Well, females will be another 13 that will be born. And that is why the Gemara chose the case of the chicken, because there you do have such a situation where the female can be fertilized from the male on one day, and that action can lead to multiple births over the next series, the next period of days later on. That's what he says. You have to see the science if this is true. If this really, how this really doesn't make sense?
She still has to stay away after she gives birth. So she's down to the 7th day.
You have to count 7 days.
You have to count 7 days. So maybe there's a chiseng, a chiddush of the Tumas Yoledes. Once you trigger the Tumas Yoledes, this is a sugi senido. They're very complicated halachas. So the potential to start the clock again is suspended. That'll be a chiddush. That's the shaila nida. Also, a woman is a nida. The truth is, a woman is a nida, minat Torah. So she can continue to be a nida every single for 7 days. It doesn't make a difference. She becomes tahora on the 8th day, even if she saw dam for 7 days straight. Minat Torah. So maybe when it comes to Mas Yoledes, it's the same thing. Just like minat Torah, if a woman becomes a nida, she can be a nida continuously for the first 7 days. For 7 doesn't make a difference. It's just that she has to be pirish. She has to stop seeing dam on the 7th day, and all those subsequent reyos do not affect the clock of the 7 days. Maybe the same thing is true when it comes to tumas yoledes. Once a woman becomes a yoledes, the tumah begins. The clock begins for 7 days. Even if she has subsequent births, those subsequent births do not restart the clock, because she's already on a clock from day one, from the first Yoledes. You understand what I'm saying? It's similar to laws. That's maybe what he means. That maybe they have to see if that is correct in halacha, that idea. Okay, whatever it is, this is what it says here. Now, there's another example. Chazal say, Hora Yoledes Yochad. So this the Gemara is a question, what does it mean over here that there's going to be children being produced at the time of Mashiach? We have a tradition that Ein Bein Olam Ha'olam Haba Ein Bo Lo Achila V'Lo Yishasiya V'Lo Piriya Urivia. It's Beferish HaChazal that in time of Mashiach of Olam Haba there is no such thing as Piriya Urivia. People will not be having children Olam Haba. So what then does it mean over here? Hora V'Yoledes Yachta. So that's what the Gemara answers. This is something we don't know. The Gemara, the Masechta Kala Rabasi asks this question. And the answer, there's a difference between Olam Haba and Yemos HaMashiach. Yemos HaMashiach, there will be no difference between the way things are now and Yemos HaMashiach. And then there is a later period of time where in Echnami there will no longer be a period of Periya or Revia. Okay, another issue over here is it says in this pasuk today when Mashiach is going to come, they're going to come blind, the blind and the lame. If we take that literally, then in the knee, now these people that are coming when they're blind and the lame, are they people who have been resurrected? Are they people who have come back from the dead? So the Pashto says, yes, we have a tradition. Even during times of Yemos HaMashiach, there's going to be Tchiyas HaNesim. And people are going to come. Now, Tchiyas HaNesim, we have a tradition that they're going to be healed. They're going to be, I'll read you over here what it says in the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. Reish Lakish Rami, he posed the following contradiction. Ksiv it says, Bam, it says here in Yirmi that we've just read, Iver Ufiseach Hora Violedes, Yachtov, which is Mashma, that when the people will be come back to in time of Mashiach, people will come back from the dead, they're going to come back the same way they were when they died. If they were blind at the time of their death, they'll be blind at the time of Tchiyas HaMesim. If they were lame at the time of death, they'll be lame at the time of Tchiyas HaMesim. But it says in Yeshaya, it says, Oz Yidaleg Ka'ayol Piseach Visaron Lashon Ilame. At the time of Mashiach, those that were lame will leap like a Nayol, like a creature that runs very quickly, and the people that were mutes could not have the Koyach HaDibor, they will be able to sing song. Because Mashiach is here. So the Gemara says, this is a very important principle. The way it's going to work is people will come back to life the same way they were before they died. And then they will be healed. Tchiyas HaMesim is not going to be, a person is going to come back, a new person that's perfect. He's going to come back into this world with all of the imperfections he had before the time of death. That's a very interesting thing. What is exactly that? Does that mean? Because when a person dies, when the body shuts down, all the different, you know, all the organs at some point in time they shut down. It's not clear exactly what it means, but in a general sense, it means that when a person will be come back to life in time of Tchiyas HaMesim, he will not come back as a shulim. He will come back with defects, with the major defects he had at the time that he was alive in his prime. And then there will be a process where these defects will be repaired, and he will be shalem. And that is how we reconcile with the pasuk in Yirmi that we've just read. There will be an Iver and Piseach that will come back from the dead. And then we reconcile this with what it says in Yeshaya, then the Iver and the Piseach will be healed. The Gemara goes on to say, why? Why is Hakeit? So, Imdim Bimumon Umisrapin. Why? So the Marsha. And there are different interpretations, but this is what the Marsha says: Shelo yomru harishoyim acherim hemis v'acherim hechia. The Marsha says that people, the wicked people, should not say that the people that are coming back to life are not the same people who died, because the person who died, he was a different person. He was missing a limb, and this one who came back to life does the has. So therefore, it's a different person. So, let me show you that when I do Tchiyas HaMesim, you're going to come back exactly the way you were before. And then I'm going to heal it. Now, in today's technology, this Masha really has a lot of meaning, because today, believe it or not, there appears to be technology of Tchiyas HaMesim. You can take a person's DNA, and you can take an embryonic cell, And you can, really on the verge, if you read the science, the cloning, you really get a sense that Tchias HaMeisim is going to become almost a natural science, a part of Teva, that you can take DNA, cloning, you can take certain, you can go into a grave and extract the DNA of the bones and the cells of a person, and then take an embryonic cell and inject in it exactly what you need to make this creature, this embryo, this cell, into the characteristics of the person that from the grave, and you'll put it in a womb or an incubator or a womb, whatever, and you'll produce a person, and that person will look just like the person who died. Only thing is better. Being that you're going to do it scientifically, the person may not have had perfect eyesight, and this person has perfect eyesight. This person was hunchback, but the new creature is not hunchback, and so on and so forth. All of the imperfections that the person had when he was alive will not exist in this scientifically produced clone that is produced by scientists. So isn't that really, so what does Hashem say? I don't want people to say that Tchias HaMeisim is something that's natural, that can be done in the laboratory, al pi derech hateva. I want to show the world that Tchias HaMeisim is something that is l'mala miderech hateva. And the way to demonstrate that it's l'mala miderech hateva, it's not going to be done the way it's being done today in the laboratory through cloning. I mean, it's done today. It's really done today. The advances are so amazing.
You could say even then, so okay, you come back with the same infections, but the medical science has advanced so much that we can cure.
We afterwards.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So they will. That's exactly what it says.
Not necessarily the model in Derek Hateva. I mean, Tchias HaMeisim is definitely the model in Derek Hateva.
No, so people today already are saying that Tchias HaMeisim is not l'mal derech hateva, because we already get a glimpse into seeing how we can do things today which appear to be on the verge of Tchias HaMeisim. So we're able. But the way we do Tchias HaMeisim today in the laboratory, when you bring back a person, it's better than the original. Because you're taking the DNA, whatever, however these things work, and you're producing a full person. It's not the original person. It may look like the original person, but it's not the original person. In order to show that no Tchias HaMeisim is l'mal derech hateva, I'm going to bring back that very same person with all of his imperfections, with all of his problems. I'm going to bring him back. And then we'll take him to the laboratory and we'll fix him. We'll give him a bionic eyes and all of these things. We'll make him perfect. But Hashem wants to show. So this is something which I think this Marsha we appreciate much, much more in this generation than ever was able to be understood. Because when they go back 100 years ago, what's the difference? If you can bring back a person from the dead, what difference does it make if he's missing a limb, he's not missing a limb? Tchias HaMeisim is Tchias HaMeisim. We today understand that it can be done al derech hateva. Hashem says no, it's not derech hateva.
Worried about how you look when you come back, it doesn't bother you that they'll come back to life. I mean, that's okay.
You're only concerned how you're going to look. Only because how you're going to be dressed when you come back. Okay.